This episode of Continuing Mission is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and to help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/TrekFM. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
On today's show, we have a very special guest for you to listen to. In 2013, he audaciously sat in the center seat on board the USS Enterprise and assumed the role of Captain James T. Kirk. His performance and interpretation of our beloved captain was nigh on perfect, and he quickly gained the love and respect for his efforts by millions of Star Trek fans around the world and possibly beyond. To whom am I pertaining? None other than Mr. Vic Mignogna himself. Vic continues, see what I did there? To have a wide and varied career both on and off the big screen. He's a professional voiceover artist, a gifted musician and composer, and a very skilled actor. He's recently vacated the captain's chair and is boldly venturing in new directions. Today on Continuing Mission, Vic will allow us to take a look back at his time on the Enterprise and then bring us all up to warp speed on his latest adventure, a fan-funded mystery movie entitled When the Train Stops. Prepare for some surprises as we head to the turbo lift to go and meet with Mr. Vic Mignogna. So, welcome everyone to Continuing Mission. I'm your host, Tony Robinson. And joining me on the show today is my fellow Trek FM colleague from Standard Orbit, the one and only Zach Moore. Say hello, Zach.
Hello, Zach. This is Zach here from Standard Orbit. Hey, Tony. Good to be on the show with you.
Yeah, great to have you, Zach. Now, on today's show, we have a very special guest who has steered the good ship Enterprise through some perilous adventures, fought off dastardly villains, and wooed the ladies all in a day's work. He's now vacated the captain's chair by order of Starfleet Command and is now being railroaded in a new career. More about that later. Excuse the puns. Will you please welcome to Continuing Mission, Mr. Vic Mignogna. How are you doing, Vic?
That was a very creative narrative you just put together there. I love it. That was quite witty, sir.
Well, that's high praise indeed.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to join you and Zach both. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Vic. Yeah, thanks for taking the time. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, things are pretty busy. I was going to say they're pretty busy now, but they're pretty busy all the time. We're still very much in the midst of our series finale release of Star Trek Continues. We just, like 2 weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago yesterday, released our final episode, but we've got lots. We've been getting a really great response on it, and we've got lots of great feature video features and fun special behind the scenes stuff to share about the final episode. So there's still plenty more to come. So there's plenty to do there with Star Trek Continues, and then also I'm in Dallas right now directing an animated series for Funimation. So I'm living here for the time being and trying to keep busy. So I'm glad to be able to find the time to join you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, most of our listeners here will know you best as, you know, Captain Kirk from Star Trek Continues, but you've done a whole lot in acting as far as voice acting as well as in front of the camera, all that good stuff. And, you know, for people who might not be familiar with outside of your Captain Kirk work. Could you just tell us a little bit how you got, you know, into acting, you know, how you first discovered it and got started in the industry?
Sure. It's, you know, it's really interesting because Star Trek really is kind of the catalyst for everything just about creative in my life. I fell in love with the original series when I was about 9 or 10 years old, found it on television and would watch it religiously every afternoon at 5 p.m. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on a 19-inch black and white television. I remember it so well. And it was actually Star Trek that inspired me, and Bill Shatner and Leonard Nimoy that inspired me to want to go and audition for school plays. So it literally was Star Trek that started me wanting to ever get into acting in the first place many, many decades ago. And I started doing school plays and then studying theater and acting and then into high school and college and did more and more and more and minored in theater in college. And so, you know, you could say that Star Trek and Captain Kirk in particular started me on my my acting voyage, if you will. And then about 19 or 20 years ago, I was living in Houston, Texas. I was writing music professionally for ad agencies and production companies, and I was producing records for artists, and I have 6 of my own CDs on iTunes. But I was doing that, and a friend of mine said, "Hey, you've got a lot of acting experience, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You should go and audition for this place here in Houston called ADV Films. They buy these Japanese animated shows and they dub them into English and they're looking for actors." And I thought, wow, that sounds like fun. I didn't know what it paid. I didn't know where they were released. I knew nothing except it was an opportunity to act, which is what I enjoyed doing. So I went and auditioned, and I got cast in Street Fighter II, and I played Vega in Street Fighter II, and then I went back to my normal job, and a few weeks later, ADV called again and said, "Hey, we have another show. Would you like to come and do it?" And I thought, well, sure, that was fun the first time. I'll do it again. And then there was another show and another show and another show. And then I met a new studio in Dallas. And then I met a new studio in New York. And then I met people from studios in L.A. And anime just kind of grew and grew and grew. So now, 20 years later, I've done over 300 different animated series and video games. Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, Full Metal Alchemist, Digimon, Naruto, Bleach, even Star Trek Online, ironically. And then Star Trek Continues is basically my love letter to the original series of Star Trek. It was my way of saying thank you so much for the creative doors that you opened for me and the way that that show and those characters inspired me when I was a little boy. Much of what I do professionally today, whether it's acting or filmmaking, that kind of stuff, is all because of my initial childhood love of Star Trek.
Wow. And you really got to live out the dream, becoming Captain Kirk yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's a couple things.
It was a daunting task, I must tell you.
Yeah.
It's fun to daydream, especially when you don't think there's ever a chance you'll ever get to do the thing you daydream about. You know, it's easy to pretend, you know, man, if I were, you know, such and such, or if I ever got the chance to do such and such. And you daydream about something so enormous and so huge that you don't ever have to worry about actually doing it. But I'll never forget, even now, I'll never forget the first moment that I was standing in the turbo lift waiting to step onto the bridge. And I was standing in there with Chris Newman, who plays Scotty in our series. And I thought, this is crazy. Not only is it crazy exciting, but it's a little crazy scary, because suddenly I'm having to come through. You know what I mean? Suddenly I've got to actually do the thing that I've always dreamed about doing. And there's an enormous amount of, you know, of apprehension and fear that what if I don't do it well? You know, what if I'm bad? What if I'm stupid? What if I don't do it justice? So the response that Star Trek Continues has received has been incredibly humbling, and I'm extremely grateful that people have enjoyed it as much as they have.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned, like, you know, once the cameras are rolling, it's always that way. You know, I've done some things on camera before. I'm usually a behind the camera guy, but when it's like, oh, this is live TV now, I'm on. You're intimidating. It can be very intimidating if you don't, you know, have it in the right frame of mind. Absolutely, it's always easier to play Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune at home on the couch than it is when you're in the studio.
That's exactly right. It would be like sitting there watching game shows, going, "Oh, I knew the answer to that. Oh, I'd have $10,000 by now. Oh, I'd be winning. I would beat that person." And then suddenly you're on the set, you get chosen, and you're on the set, and they're getting ready to start the show. You're like, uh-oh, now I really have to actually, you know, come through. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. No, and, you know, we were talking a little bit before. I'm a fellow Houstonian as well, so Houston pride, my friend. It's funny how these... you know, your fandoms kind of intersect. I became a fan of Star Trek Continues. I was looking, you know, up the history of you guys. I was like, oh, wow, Vic's from Houston. That's awesome. Texas is a great place. And funny you mentioned ADV Films. I must admit, I'm not an anime fan, but I am a big fan of the kaiju movies, like Godzilla, Gamera, sure. Stuff like that. And I know that they have done, in the past, they have done some, you know, dubs of English films and whatnot, and I knew that they were here in Texas. So that's just another, like, wow, fandoms intersecting right here. Fun times,
and I believe
facts.
I did some voice work in those as well, so...
I'll keep an ear out for you. I'll take a closer look at the credits
next
time.
Oh, yeah, I've done, like, Gamera and several of those monster films that they dubbed.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, you know, as far as Continues goes... You know, you guys, we're going to have, and I'm hoping to maybe get a little inside info here, if you don't mind. You guys, we're going to have a couple more episodes. You know, unfortunately, got cut short, but you got to, you know, the greatest thing about you guys is you got to finish the 5-year mission. You know, you got to do your 2-part finale. That's what you bridged the gap between TOS and the motion picture.
It was never my intention to just make episodes until we ran out of ideas and it started getting lame. And, you know, as the old poem says, that we ended not with a bang, but a whimper. You know, I didn't want to just kind of peter out. I wanted to go into it with a specific strategy and finish the 5-year mission. And what I was thinking was that I would do like 13 episodes, like what would equate to like one TV season in today's world.
Right. Cable show premier or Netflix show.
Back then, you know, premier TV shows, seasons right. were like 23 episodes. But so that was my original intention, was to do one more TV season, and we were going to do 13. And we did have some ideas in mind for the 12th and 13th episodes. Mm-hmm. But as fate would have it, the climate... To be tactful, the climate toward fan productions changed, and so we had to kick into high gear and finish it sooner than we had intended, and that's exactly what we did. But I am, as you said, I am most proud and most pleased that we did actually finish the original series of Star Trek, mm-hmm. which is, you know, mm-hmm. historic in and of itself.
Absolutely. Now, I do have to ask, could you give us any hints on what maybe those couple episodes that we'll never see were going to be about? Just any kind of ideas you had or things you wish you could have done in those extra two?
One of my favorite episodes of the original series was A Piece of the Action. the one where they went to the planet that had patterned their entire society after a book about the gangsters of the 20s.
Right.
And... even when we did our second Kickstarter,
I remember dressed up in the costumes.
Yeah, we scoured Los Angeles and the costume houses, and we found some costumes that almost perfectly matched what Kirk and Spock were wearing. We found a guy that had a car that looked almost exactly like the car in the original episode that they drove, and we even found a little brick area, which is hard to find in California, I gotta tell you. You know, they don't make buildings like that out there. And so we shot these little short clips for our Kickstarter, or should I say Kirkstarter, which is what we used to call, it. And it was so much fun. And I remember thinking, I would love to do a sequel episode to a piece of the action. That would have been really wonderful. And so that was one of the ideas. We hadn't written the story. In fact, we never did it because we couldn't really decide on a really, really good story. You know, it has to be more than, oh, let's put the gangster costumes on and run around. No, right. No. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it needed to be a considerable, poignant story, which is what we've always sought to execute in all of our episodes. That was one. The other thing was I wanted to do a humorous episode. I wanted to do something along the lines of like The Trouble with Tribbles. Definitely not Tribbles, but something that was lighthearted. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you that one of the ideas that we were kicking around was a musical episode,
okay.
Where Dr. McKenna comes to Kirk at the beginning of the episode and says, Captain, the crew morale is really low right now. You know, they're really feeling the deep space thing, away from homes kind of thing. And Kirk says, well, what would you suggest, Doctor? And McKenna says, I'd like to put on a musical. and so Kirk lets her do a musical, and that would kind of be the B story, while obviously something more serious and looming was happening at the same time. And a lot of our cast are very musical, can sing and play instruments. And so we were thinking that could be a really fun, entertaining vehicle, but it never happened. So,
what a shame.
Yes.
Zach and I were discussing the last couple of episodes the other evening on a different podcast, because we're going to collaborate and explore Star Trek Continues in January. We're going to go through episode by episode and really dissect it down and break it down.
Because we are huge nerds. And we can't
have
ourselves.
Well, you are in good company, my friend.
Well, I love what you did, Vic, and that goes without saying. But the journey from seeing somebody audaciously putting on the uniforms and thinking that they could walk around the bridge and strut around the bridge and do their thing and convince us, the mere public, that you could be Kirk and somebody could be McCoy and Spock. How dare you? And then you won our hearts. Straight away. It was like, oh my God. And it just got better and better. Absolutely better and better. And I don't blame Michelle Speck. I don't blame Michelle Speck for having a tear in her eye at that last scene. And I'm sure she wasn't the only person who had a tear in her eye. But you could feel the raw emotion coming off that.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, my friend. A massive and immeasurable amount of love and passion. Effort, sweat,
yeah.
Money, time
and
have gone into making these episodes. And you know, not just from me, but from probably 36 other people that have come together at least twice a year to make these episodes. I am so humbled and so proud of the people that have been part of the production.
Yeah.
Let me also say, if I may, when we made Pilgrim of Eternity, my only goal was to make an episode. I didn't have any long-term goal of making a lot of episodes. I wanted to make one episode where I could fulfill a childhood dream of playing Captain Kirk. And I'd seen enough other fan productions to know that I really felt like if you could bring a higher level of storytelling and acting and lighting and camera and cutting and music and if you could amp up all of the production values, that I really felt like I could make a good episode that would be a good story, and it would be my gift to Star Trek. One episode, boom, done. And I paid for the first episode to be made, and after we finished the first episode, we put it online, and people really, really enjoyed it. It got a great response, and so that was when we decided, well, let's launch it. Now that we've actually proven we could do this and shown people the level that we can do it, let's launch a crowdfunding campaign and let's see if let's see if anybody wants to help us make more. And the public responded just beyond our wildest dreams. And so we launched a crowdfunder and raised the money to make 2, 3, and 4. Then we launched another crowdfunder to make 5, 6, and 7. And then we launched one more to finish the series. And it's been amazing.
No, absolutely. You know, you mentioned that first episode, and when I first seen it, I had come home. I'd worked an event all day long, and I come home and I was like, let me check out the Star Trek Continues. It just came out today, and I told myself, I'm just going to watch the teaser. You know, I'm just going to check this out, and I'll go to sleep and watch it in the morning.
It pulled me in
the morning. But I watched the teaser. I'm like, oh, I have to finish this whole episode. It pulled me in. I stayed up and watched the whole thing, and I probably watched it 3 or 4 more times before the next one came out. And I do it the same kind of deal. Like I watched them probably 3 or 4 times before the next one came out, because you really nailed it, man. You really captured what TOS was, and it really fits right there with the rest. And if you just squint your eyes a little bit, you feel like you're watching lost episodes of the original series.
I love that you said that. I love that you said that, because when I try to describe Star Trek Continues to people that have never seen it, like I could be on an airplane and the guy beside me will see my phone case, which is a picture of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and he'll go, oh, Star Trek. And, we'll get into a conversation, or if somebody sees me wearing an STC t-shirt or something when I'm traveling, what I often tell them is, check it out, it's free to watch, and I promise you, within 10 minutes, you'll feel like you're watching episodes of the original series that were locked in a vault somewhere for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's been our goal.
Well, you achieved it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
There's so many components to what you did, Vic. I mean, it's a team effort, without a doubt. You've got your roles to play, and other people write the screenplays, other people man the cameras and the lights and everything else. The one thing that lies in the background, which most people tend to kind of miss, and that's the incidental music. And when I first started watching the shows, I thought that you were using library music, the Fred Steiner stuff, that was just there on a shelf somewhere and you're just dropping it in where you need it. And I didn't realize that Andy Farber had come along and composed specifically for the shows. And not only did he do it, but he brought in his orchestra and just blew everyone away.
Let me definitely comment on that, because music, as a composer, producer myself, music is one of the most important things. I believe music is perhaps the most important emotional element for a scene. And you are correct, partially. Early on, the first three episodes were original series tracks from the original series, because I always felt like the original series music is very specific. It has a personality of its own, if you will. And so I had written a few little tracks here and there for episodes 1 through 3, little tiny things just to help in a moment, or if I couldn't find something from the original series that really matched the emotional moment. But then in episode 4, I was contacted by this amazing composer, Andy Farber. And episode 4, Andy wrote several amazing original tracks that sound like they could have been original series tracks. And that's really the key, is finding somebody who can compose in that style. But even more than that, even if you can compose in that style, unless you have access to a real orchestra, you can't replicate that with synthesizers and samplers. You can't. You could come kind of close, but you really can't. There's just something about having a room full of real musicians playing real instruments that you, that cannot be replicated with computers and electronics. So the good news was that not only was Andy an amazing composer, but he knew a guy, had a friend who was at the Rochester Institute of Technology, Jonathan Kruger, and Jonathan had access to the Empire Film Music Ensemble, which was a student orchestra that performed film scores. And so he connected us with them. We rented a studio, and all of the orchestra came in on a Saturday and Sunday and recorded the music for episode four. And episode four, I should say, was a combination of original library tracks and Andy's original orchestral scores. The same with five, and the same with six. But then, 7, 8, 9, I gave Andy a little break because I knew that we were really going to need Andy for our final episodes. You know, episode 11 is very much a bridge to the motion picture. So not only did we want to create that bridge visually, which I feel like we did, but also musically. So that meant that we were going to need a lot of original scores that would kind of, you know, blend the original TOS themes with the motion picture themes. And Andy came back and did the last episodes, and I mean, just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, you can definitely hear Jerry Goldsmith and a little bit of James Horner from Star Trek's influence in those episodes as well. So that was a great bridging of the two eras of the franchise. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. When those sounds come in, my ears are finely tuned to these particular tones and notes and
melodies.
Yeah. Amazing. Can I ask you, Vic, there are lots of memorable scenes, but the one that, just took my breath away is in the last... are a couple of scenes in the last two episodes with Amy Rydell. And
oh my gosh, yeah.
I'm trying to imagine what it must have been like for you seeing her dressed like her mother and wearing the outfit and performing. I mean, just doing an awesome job. It was incredible.
Amy is a real gem. When we decided what our final episode was going to be and what characters we were going to need, I started scouring the internet looking for actresses that looked like Joanne Linville. And believe it or not, just could not find any. I sent pictures of Joanne Linville to several of my director friends in L.A. With a note that said, "Do you know anybody that looks like her?" And one day I got a message back from Julian Higgins, who actually is not only a dear friend, but he directed episode 6 and episode 8. And he wrote me and he said, "Hey, doesn't this actress have a daughter?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe." And he said, "I feel like she does, and you should maybe look her up and see if she acts, see if she's an actress." So I did a little research, and I came across Amy Rydell's page. And as soon as I saw the little profile picture, I'm like, "Oh, my God." She looks really a lot like her mom. And so I sent her a message. Out of the blue, unsolicited, and she wrote back and said, "I'd be willing to meet you for lunch, you know, and hear more about what you're doing." And I met her, and by the time we met for lunch, she had watched all of our episodes that had been released, and she came to lunch basically saying, "My mom and I have talked for years about how cool it would be if somebody brought back the Romulan Commander." And she said, "I've watched her shows and I'm completely enthralled with what you guys have accomplished, and I would love to be a part of it. So off we went, and she did an amazing job. And I don't know if you've read this anywhere. This is a fun little trivia, a bit of trivia. She was exactly the same age when she shot our episode as her mom was when she shot the original series episode.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? I mean, just a lot of cool little things, yes.
Could not have planned it better.
I mean, unbelievable. And here's the thing, Vic. You had a chemistry with her that William Shatner had with her mother. That shone on the screen. You bounced off each other performance-wise, and it really came through.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I love Amy to death, and we've become good friends, and she's a dear part of our production. And you guys may not know this, but and your viewers and followers may not know this, but even when we're not shooting episodes, we all get together socially. You know, it's not like a production where people just show up when they're paid and they work and then they leave and don't see each other until the next time they come together to shoot. Nobody gets paid, so there's that. Nobody's making any money, so everybody's there because they want to be a part of it. But even beyond that, when we're not shooting, after we've made an episode with somebody, they become part of the family, and we regularly have social get-togethers in L.A., where not only our regular production team come out and have dinner and hang out, but even our guest stars, people like Mike Forrest from Pilgrim of Eternity, Mike and Diana, and Gigi Edgley that was in episode 6, and Rekha Sharma that was in episode 8, and Claire Kramer who was in episode 7, and now Amy Rydell. They all become part of the family, the adopted family, and we actually get together socially.
That's great. Yeah, and you guys are very active on social media, posting all that. You guys get together. It's very fun to see that connection go past just, you know, the work, if you can call it that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is work, but it is work that we're very it's very hard work, but it's work that we are all very passionate about, and it's work that transcends money. Mm-hmm. I can't communicate this to people enough. You know, making money and pocketing a bunch of cash, you know, that's nice. Everybody likes that. However, there are things that are much more valuable, and in fact, I would dare say you can't put a price tag on. And something like what we've done with the people that we've done it with is one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I joke about it being work, not I've done a many broadcast television things and whatnot, crews behind the scenes, and when you really just enjoy exactly what you're talking about, when you enjoy the people that you're working with, it makes all the difference, and it really does feel like you're just having a good time together with your friends, even though, yes, it is very hard work. Technically, all that stuff that goes into it, you got to be on point and do a great job, put out a great product, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like you're grueling like a 16-hour day. It feels like you're just there with your friends, and that makes all the difference, absolutely.
Exactly.
If we knew the bar that you hung out in after shooting a scene, we would come around and buy you guys beers.
Absolutely.
Not you, Vic. We'd buy you a nice glass.
Buy you a nice red wine.
A Cabernet Sauvignon. But everyone else would get a beer.
Right.
We would do that. Maybe we can move on a little. I'm aware of the time.
Absolutely. Let's keep the train moving, Tony.
Yeah, the train is moving.
Star Trek Continues has been a fun chapter, and it is closed, but it will be there forever for everyone to go back and relive and add on to the end of TOS. But now you've moved on to a new project, When the Train Stops. Yeah. And that has been described as a Twilight Zone-esque short film with an unexpected ending. So that immediately I got my ears perked up with that because I love the Twilight Zone.
Me too.
That is one of my favorite shows. Right up there with TOS, top 5 TOS show.
We're trying to guess what the story is, and it's you sitting by a window, and there's a gremlin outside trying to derail the
something
train.
Inside of this train.
Yeah, and nobody else can see him, but only you can see him. And he's ripping bits. Is that am I close?
That's I hate to disappoint, but no, that's not the story. But yeah, let's talk about when the train stops.
Yeah.
Lisa Hansel is our makeup supervisor for Star Trek Continues. She is a very, very dear friend, and she's also one of the co-producers of Star Trek Continues. She's been with the project since the very beginning. And she is producing this short film. And as she was putting it together, she kind of reached out to some of us, to me and Kipley Brown and James Kerwin, who is another one of our co-producers and has directed several of our episodes, and said, asked us if myself and Kipley and John Delancey, who was our guest star in episode 9, mm-hmm. and Mike Forrest, who was our very first guest star in episode 1, if we would play roles in this short film, and to which we, of course, happily said, yeah, absolutely. Any chance to work together with our friends again. And then she asked James Kerwin to direct it. So so that's basically the background, how it kind of came about. And I'm really excited about it. I mean, as you said, I loved Twilight Zone when I was a boy. In fact, yeah, it's kind of funny you should say that, because on my iPad, which is sitting here to my left right now, I have downloaded most of the original Twilight Zone, and whenever I'm on an airplane, I'll watch it.
the perfect place to watch the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a really cool story, and it's, I'm really excited about doing it, and especially doing it with people that I love and have already worked with. Well, as I said, Mike Forrest, who played Apollo in the original series of Star Trek, and then reprised his role as Apollo in our first episode, Program of Eternity. He's playing a lead role in it. Amazing actor and one of the nicest men I've ever met. John Delancey, who of course played Q in Star Trek Next Generation, and he was an amazing guest star of ours in episode 9 of Star Trek Continues. He's playing a big role in it. And then myself and Kipley Brown, who played Smith in our series, who selflessly sacrificed herself to help save the ship in our final episode. She and I are both acting in it as well. And then James Kerwin, as I mentioned, James directed episode 3, episode 4, episode 7. And then 10 and 11 of Star Trek Continues. And he's going to be directing when the train stops. So it's going to be a really fun production with a lot of great people.
And now this is a period piece, correct?
Yeah.
Meaning it's like
Old West.
Yeah, like, which is always really kind of cool. It's always kind of fun.
Okay, so have you got locations and picked out for these?
Well, no, and to be honest with you, I have to confess, I'm just an actor in this production. Seriously, I mean, you could ask me anything you want about Star Trek Continues, and I have an answer for every single element of it, because I was the executive producer. But in this production, I am following the leadership of our dear Lisa Hansel. So, when it comes to locations and some of those very exciting questions, I'm just kind of doing what I'm told.
Yeah, show up where they tell you to show up, right?
Exactly. I'm not the boss of this one. So Lisa's the boss, and I do what she tells me.
Great.
But she's really, I can tell you that she's really excited about really excited about producing this project and working with Mike and John and the rest of it. So I'm really, really looking forward to doing this with them.
Right. So again, we all love Star Trek Continues. If you want to see all those same Star Trek Continues family members come together in a new project, you know, check this out, guys. And so you guys have an Indiegogo campaign going on right now to raise funds for the project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I can tell you, basically what you just said. You know, any of these kind of productions obviously need money to function. I mean, you've got equipment to rent, you've got possibly a set to build, not always, but you've got facilities you need. You've got locations that you sometimes have to rent. You've got hard drives you need to purchase to store footage on. You've got any number, you know, makeup to buy, props right. to build or buy. There are always production costs associated with any production. And so we are currently in the middle of an Indiegogo, hopefully to raise the money to make the film. I'm very excited about it. I know everybody involved is kind of chomping at the bit to get on it, and definitely hope you'll share the link to the campaign with your audience, and help us get this thing done. It's going to be really cool,
Well, quite definitely, we will absolutely do that. Yeah,
you know, I want to get the chance to talk about it as much as I can, and share the love of When the Train Stops. So definitely check it out.
So you don't know anything. I mean, you're aware of the storyline, but is there a script or a screenplay already in place? I imagine there might be.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the running time would be about 45 minutes, maybe.
I have not heard a specific final running time. I would hesitate to speak as if I were an expert about some of those details, but, it's a short. So I would say if I had to guess, which I hate to guess, but you know, maybe between, 20 or 30 minutes and 45 minutes. I mean, I don't know exactly yet, but that's probably in the ballpark.
We won't hold you to it. No worries, Vic. Yeah, but yeah, we'll definitely share the link in our show.
I don't want to get in trouble with the people that are in charge.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely share the link in our show notes. And again, it's called When the Train Stops. When the Train Stops.
What I can tell your audience is, if you enjoyed Star Trek Continues, if you enjoyed, our production, a lot of the same people that worked on Star Trek Continues are coming together to make this short film. Uh-huh. So if you enjoyed that, I'm quite certain you'll enjoy this. And please help us, reach the Indiegogo goal so that we can get her done.
Absolutely. And there's great rewards for everybody who signs up on there as well, as always, with all these campaigns. So definitely check it out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You guys hear that in the background? The train is coming in the station. Some viable marketing there. I live right next to a train track. I did not plan that.
We'll just... You queued that, didn't you?
Here it comes. Cue the train, folks. So.
I heard the train horn the other night when we were talking. There it goes. It's amazing.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. So, okay, Vic, I'm guessing that the mysterious ending is Kipley Brown gets to keep the silver eyes and startles us all. But again, I could be so off the mark. It's unbelievable.
Well, you could be, but who knows? I mean, you never know.
You never know.
No, I would not. I would never. I would be the last person to give away exciting ending. But,
absolutely, and you guys were always very tight-lipped about all the Star Trek Continues episodes as well, which I really respected, because it was every episode was like a new complete surprise. You know, I had no idea of what it was going to be or how it was going to end or anything like that. So it's good you guys are continuing that tradition of, you know, letting you experience it for the first time without any spoilers or anything like that. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, that's definitely. I mean, you know, it's really hard to keep it to yourself sometimes. You know, especially when you make something and it's done, like you've already shot it and you already know how wonderful it's going to be and you're so excited about it. I mean, I will tell you that we've had guest stars like Amy Rydell and some others that have just been chomping at the bit to share it and to tell people about it and to talk about it. And we've had to repeatedly say, not yet, not yet, don't, not yet. And When the Train Stops is going to be, you know, it's very much the same thing. Everybody that's involved in it knows how cool it's going to be, and they're excited to talk about it. But you know, got to keep quiet until it comes out.
Yeah, no, well, I'm sold on concept alone of that, you know, Twilight Zone esque period piece western from the Star Trek Continues team. I'm sold. So,
yeah. Well, have we covered all the bases? Do you think? today?
I believe so.
All right. So I'm just asking the question so we can allow Vic to get on to his next appointment.
Let me just say in closing that I'm extremely grateful, to all of the fans that have enjoyed, the viewers that have seen and enjoyed Star Trek Continues. It's been an amazing 5 years. We've actually had our own five-year mission.
Yeah, nice.
and it's been an amazing ride, and we are so grateful for your support and your enthusiasm of our production. And I'm very excited about getting to be a part of When the Train Stops. And I think those of you that are able to support it will certainly be proud that you did.
Well, all of us at Trek FM are glad to be a peripheral part of Star Trek Continues and a peripheral part of When the Train Stops, simply by virtue of talking about it. So it's a pleasure to be here. And it was great for Lisa, who contacted us to give us the opportunity to talk with you about this upcoming project.
My pleasure.
Okay. So, Vic, I'm going to say a huge thank you for coming on the show today. And we will certainly encourage people to check out the website, check out the Indiegogo site too, and hopefully convince them to put their hands in their wallets and shell out their hard-earned cash on your project.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for having me, and I'll hope to get the chance to cross paths with you someday, either in the UK or perhaps in good old Houston someday.
You know, we did brush shoulders once, Vic, at Star Trek Las Vegas. I was actually talking
really?
To, yeah, so I was ended up talking to Andy Farber a whole lot over the course of STLV,
because
I became friends with Larry Nemechek and all those guys were hanging around, and then you guys were all hanging out in one of the bars and like, hey, you want to go meet the Continuous guys? I was like, oh, absolutely. So it was very brief, but I talked to you very briefly and you were very gracious and took a picture with me. I was like, oh man, it's Captain Kirk, that was awesome. So I can tell
thank
the
you
testament
I'm so
right
glad
here. like just when you see these guys on the street, they're as kind as can be and as authentic as can be. So
well, thank you for that, Zach, and I hope to get to see you again. Are you going to be in Vegas this year?
Maybe not this year. I'll see how the finances are. You know, I kind of don't go every year, but I'll try to make it out because it's a once in a lifetime thing to do. You know, to be in that mecca of Star Trek and Star Trek Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
It's just a fun experience.
Absolutely. Well, it was a pleasure to meet you. It was definitely a pleasure to meet you, and I will definitely hope to get to cross paths with you again.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And if you get to Dublin, Vic.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on. And I may very well be in Dublin again next year, as I said. So I'll hope to see you there. And I'll definitely. I wasn't just saying that as part of the interview. I hope to get the chance to see you in Dublin. And Zach, hope to get to cross paths with you again.
Absolutely. You know, I am the host of Standard Orbit here on the network, the original series show. So you know, it'd be great to have you on talk about, I know one of your favorite episodes is Requiem for Methuselah, right? It'd be great to have you on talk about that sometime if you're interested. You know, we can reach out and down the road.
Drop me an email and let's talk about it, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, down the road. So hey, good luck with the project, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you guys will meet your goal. You always do. So I'm looking forward to When the Train Stops as well.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great afternoon.
All right, you can put that one in the library. Thanks, Vic.
Well, that was a lot of fun for both Zachary and I talking to Vic Mignogna about his upcoming project, When the Train Stops. We'd really appreciate if you take a look at the website for When the Train Stops, and the website address couldn't be more easy. It's called whenthetrainstops.com. So if you can dig deep into your pockets and support Vic, that would be fantastic, and everybody involved in the project would certainly appreciate your contributions. It would have been great if we could have prolonged our conversation with Vic, but he was tied for time. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Fan consensus has sort of said, look, third season is terrible and awful and woeful, and a lot of it is. But you go back and you watch it, and there's a lot of it that carries over. Like, there's a lot of stuff that is, I think of, like, as quintessentially Star Trek. That sort of you see develop over the course of the third season.
The 602 Club.
There was a lot of screaming involved. I'll start with... You know what I'm talking about.
Snowball! Snowball! Snowball!
Yes. No, I know what you mean.
No,
I did
a lot
too.
Of... Oh my god! It's a Demogorgon!
Warp 5.
He had to learn to not interfere, and it's painful, and that's what makes it such a powerful episode, so this is definitely a see it. Okay, next.
All right. Sleeping Dogs. While exploring a gas...
Skip it.
Okay. All right, so Shadows of Bodega... I think we already know what this one is.
keep going with the sleeping dogs.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
It's like when Tyler was, you know, explaining the situation and seeing it, and I mean, and he was explaining it to Tyler, it's like he was almost apologizing for it. Like, I had to do this to save my life, and I'm still alive because I did this, but... Is he suffering guilt for that?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app, to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please, leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us email, you can use the form on our website at trekfm.com/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Continuing Mission, that will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Now, I'd like to make a special mention of the people who make TrekFM viable and ready for your listening pleasure. C. Brian Jones, our founder and publisher. Matthew Rushing and Ken Tripp, our executive producers. Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Metella, our Patreon manager. And I'd like to thank Zachary Moore from Standard Orbit, who joined us today. And you can find Zachary if you look for our Trek of M podcasts, Standard Orbit. Give it a listen. And on Twitter, you can find Zachary at Moore on Zach. That's MOOREONZACH. Moore on Zach. Now, if you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. I'm Tony Robinson, and along with Zachary Moore, you've been listening to Continuing Mission, and we look forward to have you joining us again on a future episode of Continuing Mission.